Dear congregation, when we go back to the beginning of the Bible, children, what story do we find there that is, one way or the other, touching your life and my life? The beginning of paradise, when God put Adam and Eve into that beautiful garden and gave them the task to care for it, the task to love Him, but also one commandment as a test of their obedience. Now you know the rest of the story, how Adam and Eve took of that fruit, children, and they ate. And that's when all the world became the place it is today. Still very pretty, but it's full of pain. Fires that destroy houses and lives, sicknesses, death. We're all going to go dying one day. So really, as we think about it in a different way, Adam and Eve and mankind, all of us, we entered the wrong door. There was a door in paradise that said life on it. And there was a door in paradise that said death on it. Two doors. God says, if you go to that door and obey me, you'll have an endless life before you that only gets better and better. Eternal life, he calls it in the Bible. And the other door said death in it, on it. And he says, if you go through that door, you're going to end up in a doorless death. That means you can't go back out of it. You go to that door, you never come out again. Now you have to think twice before you go into a room that you can't get out of anymore. That's what we did. We went the wrong door. And because of that, we as men, boys, girls, men, women, are locked up. We're born that way. We're born locked up in the prison and we call guilty. We are guilty of sin, guilty before God. So around you and me, as we're born in this world, are bars, walls, thick doors, gates, locked in. Now, if the Holy Spirit works in your life, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel, you're going to know that you are locked in a guilty place. And that does never feel nice when you feel guilty, right? If you steal something or you do something naughty, you know that. You know you don't like it. You stole that biscuit and it doesn't taste as well because you know you've done wrong. That's that feeling of guilt. And when we begin to see what we've done against the Lord and against His creation and against people, we're going to know that we are in this prison of guilt. And all humans are there. And we cannot escape it. Because you have to pay to get out of that guilt. And what do you pay to this great God? He's not interested in dollars. He's not interested in gold and silver, that doesn't satisfy the demand that the Lord says you need to pay me back what you did to me. We offended Him. We greatly offended Him. And we can never make it right. That's discouraging. That's terribly discouraging. That is what night is all about. That's the darkness. That was this prison. If you think about it, you sit in prison for the rest of your life. There's people in that. Sadly, not in this country. They let them go again. But in some other countries, they put them away for life. Imagine kids sitting there 50, 60, 70 years. That's a long time. It's not so long, really, if you compare it to forever. Imagine being forever locked away, forever and forever and forever, never to come out. That's what we are, by nature. in God's prison, as it were, because we have sinned against Him. And the only way we can come out, if we pay what we owe. But how can we pay a price that is far beyond? Even if I give the whole earth to God, it is not enough to pay for my guilt. So that's the first part of the prison. The second part of the prison is we're locked away in being a sinful person. We are. You know, we've heard about these wildfires in Australia this week, kids, have you? You've seen the pictures in the paper. This incredible fire. And that only took one little match. Imagine, just one little spark started all that. And was uncontrollable. You know, our hearts are like that. It only takes one little spark. And our whole heart becomes like a wildfire. We will say the meanest things to our brothers and sisters. All of a sudden we say the terrible thing, or we think terrible things about our dear parents. Or maybe even one thought comes to our mind, and in our mind we do the most horrible, filthy sins. And no matter what we do about that heart of ours, you can never fix it. We are locked away in a heart that is so utterly deceitful, full of wild passion sins. It is absolutely incurable. No discipline, no rules will make a single difference about the heart. I can make rules for you and you can make rules for me, but we can never change the heart. Now this is a pretty sad condition. We're in a prison of guilt and we're in a prison of sin. In other words, Adam and Eve entered into a door that brought them into a doorless place. Never can we get out. The Bible has big words for that, congregation. We call it a curse. We call that being depraved and guilt and sold into sin. And you know all the terminology. That's the point. Doorless condition. Lost. But that's not the end of the story of the Bible. This morning we read the text, I am the door. Where a man failed, God arose and His own arm brought salvation. Can I read with you just our scripture verse for this morning from John 10 verse 9? Let's just for a moment read that. That's our text for today. Very plain scripture. Jesus says, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Think of that doorless condition we're in. How do we ever get out? How can I ever get out of the prison of guilt? How can I ever get out of the prison of being sinful? Jesus says, I'm the door. God made a door. God made a door in His own Son, Jesus Christ. What a simple way of putting the gospel. I just love the way Jesus preached. So simple. I am the door. We all know what doors are, kids, do we? We're going to look at that this morning. Doors. Think of ourselves as being starving. I am the bread. A mankind, we sit in darkness. I'm the light. As mankind, we are lost sheep out in the wilderness. I'm the shepherd. As people, we are spiritually dead. I'm the life and the resurrection. We don't know the way back to God. I am the way and the truth and the life. So, really, the Lord Jesus is tying in to all these various simple pictures and brings out some really beautiful, deep teaching in this passage also this morning, I am the door. Now friends, before we look at this text, we need to for a moment place it in the context. I did not read chapter 9 completely. It's a really long chapter, but if you open your scriptures, place to chapter 9, you probably will recall the story of the man who was born blind. And Jesus passes him by, and they ask, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus says, that's not the point. The point is that he's sitting there so I can show you who God is. And now he illustrates the text I preached about last week. That's all chapter 9 is. The illustration of the text, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me, he that obeys me, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Instantly, the man obeyed. Didn't know who he obeyed. He obeyed. He believed. I will do that. As simple as that. And he got better. He sees. This caused a huge stir in the Jewish church. Nobody could deny this is an incredible miracle. Who could make a man born blind seeing? And so if you read through the whole chapter, you notice that the scribes and the Pharisees are livid. They just don't know what to do with this situation of Jesus doing these kind of things. And then we came to the end of the chapter where we read this morning, beginning. First of all, this blind man was kicked out of the church. Nice shepherds. Wonderful, those Pharisees. If you don't toe the line, you're out. Don't care about you. As long as you care about me. Wonderful shepherds. Beasts, that's what they are. That's what Jesus also calls them, doesn't he? You guys are thieves and robbers and strangers and hirelings. You work for money, but not for love. And he brings out himself as the good shepherd. I'll pick that up obviously next week. So that's why I stopped reading where we read this morning at chapter 10. But then the Lord is speaking to these Pharisees. And notice at the end of the chapter, congregation, the Lord says, I have come for judgment into the world, that they which see, although they think they see, might not see. And they which see not, might be made blind. Strange text. And the Pharisees hearing that, they say, Lord, are we blind also? Yes, he says, you are totally blind. But you are telling everybody that you see. You know, we have experts like that today too. People in the congregation that have always the answers. No, it's not that way. No, it's not that way. But you ask them, are you saved? No. That's how scribes and Pharisees like type people. They always know it, but they will not follow the word. When somebody says, I know that I was blind one time, but now I see, they will not accept that. Because it doesn't fit their model. Or when some people don't walk along to the rules they made, like Jesus never did. He never walked in the rule book of the Pharisees. Yet they're out. So they are seeing, aren't they? They always see it the right way. They know exactly that salvation is not the way that Jesus is teaching it. Not that easy. They know exactly that you have to first keep the rules. And if you don't keep the rules, you cannot be saved. What rules? Their rules. And so Jesus is flamingly sharp when he says, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see. And then listen to these last words. Therefore, your sin remaineth. And next, in the chapter 15 of the same book, the Lord speaks something similar. He says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. Now they have no cloak for their sin. Now they have no cover anymore. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Be careful, friend. You can be like a Pharisee. You being expert, and you cut out the Lord's words, And you say, no, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be my way or the way I think it is. Be careful. That could be the Pharisaical way. Jesus is asking us to hear His word and to obey it. We need to pray that we may not be like these spiritual so-called leaders who refuse to Jesus as the light of the world. So let us together this morning consider then chapter 10, at least one part of it. In chapter 10, which is tying into chapter 9, very clearly, the Lord speaks mostly a parable directed against the Pharisees. So keep that in mind, that's what the main purpose of this parable is. You notice in verse 6, they don't understand. The disciples don't understand, the people don't understand, the Pharisees don't understand at all what he's trying to say in verses 1 to 5. So Jesus expounds, he explains it, but as he explains it, he expands it. He adds more to it. That's what makes this parable rather difficult. Yeah, he speaks about a door three times. He speaks about a door in verse 1. He speaks about a door in verse 7. He speaks about a door in verse 9. And all three are different doors. Different intentions. And so this is not as easy a portion of Scripture as it maybe looks like at the moment. So let us together for a moment consider it, and I am going to leave most of the other doors out, but only look at verse 9 this morning. And I'd like to ask your attention for three thoughts this morning: the function of a door, the beauty of this door, the matchless beauty of this door, and lastly, the use of this door. So let's consider, I am the door. What is a door? You walked through a door when you came in here. We're going to walk through the door when we go out of here. So a door is a point of entrance and a point of access. As simple as that. And Jesus compares himself to a door. In other words, I am a person through whom you have entrance and through whom you have exit. So that's a simple thing. I don't have to say more about that. He is a door. Now in verse 1 and particularly verse 7 and 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. In this verse, the word door is, I am a door that gives access to the sheep. The sheep have access to me, that's verse 9, but I have access to the sheep, that's verse 7. I am the one that is the door. I am the door, I'm also the shepherd, I will come to that later, because I have the only authorized access to the sheep. And you are thieves and robbers. Now, he says in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Does he include the prophets? Does he include John the Baptist? Of course not. He's talking about a parable. See, during the night, all the sheep in the Bible times are locked up in a sheepfold. And all the shepherds are bringing their sheep there, and there's a porter there waiting, watching at night. And Jesus says, I am the door. In the morning, I have the one who have access to the sheep. I'm also the shepherd coming through the door. That's another image. We'll pick that later. He said, but you people are thieves and robbers. You are climbing over the wall at night and you're stealing my sheep. The one in chapter 9. You're robbing my sheep. You should get out of here. He says, you don't belong in our church any longer. He says, you mates, you're taking my sheep. And I am the door. I have only access to the sheep. And you don't lay your hand on my sheep anymore. It is my sheep. I'll leave that one. That's not the focus of the sermon. We're going to verse 9 and 10 this morning. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. Now Jesus takes up a whole different image. He says, I am the door, which gives access, and through whom also exits. I am the door for the sheep. So the sheep need to go through me, as it were. Now, that sounds like a really strange way for us. So we go through the door. In the Bible time, when you think about the sheepfold, there is one sheepfold that has only one door. And the shepherd would stand or lay or watch, usually, if he is not the porter, but if he is himself doing it, he would stand in the door and he wait at the door and he guard the door. And he says, the only way to have exit and the only way to have entrance is through me. So now we look from the point of the sheep. The sheep, I am the door. Now how is Jesus a door? Let's think about that together. He says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Let's think about a sheep, children. If you were a sheep, and it's getting dark, and it's dangerous, there's wolves out there, and lions, and darkness, where would you want to be at night as a sheep? I'd say in the sheepfold. Yes. The sheepfold is a safe place. As a secure place. So Jesus says, I am a secure place. Through me, sinners have access to the safest sheep pen. 3 verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The world is an unsafe place. Satan is strong. Sinners are strong. Our heart is strongly wrong. What is the safest place but to be in Jesus Christ, in God? There is no better place, my friend, to be under the Lord's care. I've never found it any different. There is no more beautiful place to be a son and a daughter of the Almighty Father God. And the only way I can become that and through and in that is through that door. I am the door of the safest sheepfold. There is indeed no place better to be than in the presence of God. He is the best heart surgeon. He not only can take care of the problem of my guilt sin, but also my sinfulness. I am the door. Through him, sinners have access to the safest sheep pen. Think of it this way. Jesus is the advocate, the lawyer, the defense lawyer. To have him stand, as it were, before the very bar of God's judgment. Is I am the door. I am the lawyer. I am the only one that give access to God in a safe way. And then he says in the next verse, I am the door, he shall be saved. He shall also go in and out and find pasture. Now what does he mean with the pastures? Greenest pastures. Sheep like grass and cow like green grass. Jesus says, I am the door. And if any man comes through me, he may eat of the greenest grass available. This book, congregation, are the pastures. They're as green as ever. How old is this book now? And millions of souls have been eating of this pasture. And of the green promises full of life and nourishment. Of the green truths that are full of beauty. And Jesus says, I am the door. If any man believes in me, he may eat of these pastures. You know, there are beautiful promises in this Bible. Forgiveness. Being reconciled with God. Being in a condition that there is no more condemnation. Having peace in your heart. Having the sense of joy as you look to God, knowing that He is a reconciled Father to you. That's a wonderful truth, aren't they? Hey, that you may live in this world knowing that all things work together. Stolen car, wildfires, cow prices that are going down, sicknesses, horrible events. And to know, even though you can't always see it, to know that all these things work together for good unto them that are loving God, according to His purpose, chosen and drawn. It's a wonderful scripture. Or to read in Colossians the truth, ye are complete in Him. Though you feel shortcomings, failures, you never live up to the glory of God, yet you know in the standing of God, complete, undefiled, no spot, no wrinkle. Or to think about that day when Jesus will call us out of this life. And then as Jude writes, to be presented before the throne of God, faultless with exceeding joy. That's a gorgeous scripture to eat. Hold on. Don't eat of it. Only if you've gone through the door. You can eat of these promises. Unless you've gone to the door. Unless you have believed and confessed with your heart and in your mouth in this Lord Jesus Christ as your only ground and as your only hope and as your only expectation and as your only righteousness and as your only atoning blood and as your only all. Otherwise, no access. Lord's Supper next week. That's the greenest pasture that you may go in and out of. Except you have to go to the door first. If I am not a believer in Christ, and if I do not confess His name, though with a trembling hand, then we may not come to that pasture. It is only for the sheep that have come to the door of the pasture and of the sheepfold. By sinners will through Him receive the most abundant of life. If you look at verse 10, the last part, I am come, and I am the door, that they might have life, and that they might have it life in a more abundant form, that they may have more abundantly. Friends, life is beautiful. A day like this is lovely. It is. Do you know what makes it even more lovely? A day like this? If you know it is well between you and your God, then there is peace with nature, then there is peace in your heart. That is life more abundant. That is beautiful. If you may know that all things are well between you and your Creator, that though you are a sinner, that you are covered, that makes it so more abundant. If you may indeed feel in your heart the love of God shed abroad in your heart, you may sense God's love to you. I tell you, on a day like this, it's endlessly beautiful. But if you miss that, yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's going to end. And if I'm not deceiving myself, I'm looking forward to days like this for the rest of eternity. Except much better. Undescribably much better. So Jesus says, I'm come that you may have life. No, that you may have life more abundantly. That's what He said to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, if you obey, you're going to live forever. That means you're going to live in a dimension you've never lived before. I'm the door. Through Him, one day sinners will be brought together as one flock. He says that other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There are other sheep in other countries, in other cultures, in other tongues, I can't speak our language today, separated by barriers that man has made, church walls man has created, rules and regulations that may be not necessary, but one day it's all going to fall away. And I'll see Chinese brothers, and we see Korean brothers, and we see African brothers, and who knows, and sisters. One fold, with one shepherd. Marvelous. But only is that your future if you use the door. Let's sing together. Psalter 161. 1, 4, 5, and 8. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior. He has proved. He only is my rock, my tower. Today we could add my door. I never shall be moved. 161. Let's do 1, 4, 5, and 8. I am the door, Jesus says. And again, as I said last week, this Greek I am is I, the only one. I, the only one, am the door. All the beautiful things of God's promises, friends, and all the beautiful truth of God's commitment to His people are only through Christ, by faith in Him. That's a lovely door. Let's just think about the door. I am the door. He's the only one. No name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. It's only one door. It's only one door in the sheepfold. Only one door in the temple. Only one door in the tabernacle. It's only one door. There's only one access point to God. That's the Lord Jesus. I am the only door. There is no salvation, no reconciliation. There is no satisfaction of God's attributes. There is no approaching God but through this door. No other door. No saints, no other people, no your doings. Now don't think that your door is going to be, well, I'm going to have to feel better. I'm going to have to feel gooder or nicer or holier or humbler. Those are back doors. They end up outside of God's temple. Jesus is the door. And certainly, congregation, there will be things that the Lord will do in our heart to make us go to that door. But they do not add to the door. There will be conviction of sin. And for me to go through that door of Christ, I'm going to have to know indeed that I need that door. But it's not going to add to the door. He is the only door. If you go to that door, there will be no doubt sadness over your sins in your heart. Of course. If you love the Lord, you're going to be grieving about your sins and about your neighbor's sins and about your kid's sins. You're going to grieve about sin. But it's not going to add to the door. He is the door. The only door and the only way that we can come back to God is through Jesus Christ. Now let's never forget, I am an open door. The door is not closed. We closed the door. Remember, we started a doorless room. But He made a door. And it's not ajar in a little bit. Wide open door. All that come unto me. Or if you take another verse out of the scriptures, look unto me all the ends of the earth. This door is as wide as the world is big. All the ends of the earth. Yeah, my friend, if I can go up by all your names this morning, I can save my hand on the scriptures. Daniel, Nori, and blah, 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 blah. The door is open for you. Open door. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. Come through the door. All the ends of the earth would be a paraphrase of the verse in a New Testament way. Open for you. I am the door. Let conscience not make you linger. Let not fears heap you up beside the door. Let not reasoning stop your coming. No. I am the door by me. If any man. That's a big word. You thought not you this morning. If any man. You thought, no, Lord, I don't think that's for me. If any man stop arguing with God, stop reasoning. What does the Lord say? Isaiah 1, shall I read it? I am the door. Can't think of the words, so I've got to have to look it up for a moment. Come now. You may still reason. Let us reason together. But then on scripture ground. If any man, though his sins are as scarlet, my friend, even if you would have started the wildfires of Australia, that man or those people are in trouble, right? But if any man come to this door as a sinner repenting, confessing. If any man comes to this door indeed, seeking the Lord. He is the widest door. If you go to the tabernacle, then it's not just a small door. I mean, you have a big wide door in this building. out there. See those double doors? On the tabernacle, they'll be three times the size compared to the sidewall. It's a huge door. God is trying to emphasize something, isn't he? It's a wide door. Indeed, no matter how great a sinner you are, never is there anything in God that cannot include you. Look unto me, no sinner too big. No sinner too big. I am the widest door. He's also the most beautiful door. Time is failing me to speak about the beauty of the door, that every aspect of the character of Christ, his human nature, his divine nature, his prophetical, priestly, kingly office, or his most wonderful, compassionate love. Even though they're ready to crucify him, Father, forgive them. No, not ready. When they crucify him. No, I meant when they're ready to crucify him, he weeps tears of genuine sorrow. Oh, if they would have known. What a man. What a God. Isn't he beautiful? The door of Christ. As he displays his character, his love, his power, his goodness, his grace. My friend, everything of this God is honorable. He honored his own holiness by giving his son. He honored his own justice by sacrificing his own son. Never did he compromise. Never did he let any demand fall. No, he made provision for it in this door, Jesus Christ. If any man enter in. Now let's look at that last word. This door needs to be used. God doesn't want us to take a look at the door and say, oh, that's a gorgeous door. He didn't want me just to talk to you about the door. I am to invite you to enter the door today. We are to enter the door. To make use of the door, you need to enter it. And door to blessings does you no good if you don't enter it, my friends. And only those who enter in this door shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now the phrase go in and out is really interesting if you trace it back in the Old Testament. That's a Hebrewism for a daily lifestyle. David, Moses went in and out. And the disciples went in and out. And Jesus went in and out. All these phrases you come back in the scriptures. It's just meaning you live in a daily lifestyle with me. Any man enter into this door, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. Perhaps referring mostly to that eternity coming. I will go in and out, as it were, living in the very presence of God. My friend, God urges you to enter this door by me, if any man enter. What is that then, to enter? To enter is to believe. To enter is to trust. To enter is an act. And to enter is something we do, right? And if we do it, all credit to God. Faith is his gift. But that's what it is. Entering is to believe. Entering is to trust in Christ as the sinner's substitute. To enter is to believe with the heart and confess with the mouth. That is as I stand or bow before my Lord and say, Lord God, no righteousness of my own, no merit of my own, no doing of my own, in my hand I bring. Lord, I disown everything that I've ever wanted to look to. I hope that is true out of your heart. But to thee do I look. Upon thy Son do I build my hope. His righteousness only I desire to make mention of. To enter in, my friend, is to believe, to trust in Christ, to turn away from any other means, to gain access, to gain acceptance with God. May I ask you those couple questions at the closing this evening, this morning? Did God open your eyes, your personal, spiritual, soul eyes, that you have learned to see you are in a locked room and you belong in that locked room. You locked it. Let's begin that quickly. You ever come to terms with the fact that I am what I am because I chose in Adam my father as mankind to be where we are? Sinner, guilty, lost, depraved, wretched, horrible. My fault. God, thou art just. God, I own thy justice upon me. Let's examine that. Do we surrender ourselves unto this holy God and say, Amen. Lord, Amen. Did God open your eyes, my friends, through such ways that He seems fit? Show you the pearl of great value, Jesus. Have you began to see in that precious man, Jesus Christ, your hope? Righteousness you don't have. Payment you can't make. Salvation you cannot bring yourself. Has the Lord Jesus become a pearl? And by that sight, all other pearls are falling out of your hands. I want that one. Has He become that? Have you gone through all the other doors and tried the door of good works and good feelings and nice boy and nice girl and wonderful man and very strict and who knows what other doors you've had? But you found them all closed. Have you seen the open door in Christ? And there is through Him access to the heart of the Father. Have you also then confessed that already? Has there come a time in your life that you bow before the Lord? And not one time, friend. This is what we need to do daily. Daily. Daily come to God through Christ and again thank Him for the door. Confess Him as your door. Use Him as your door. Go through that door. And what will you find? Pastures. Beyond description. And so let us close this morning. Christ knocks on your closed heart to tell about His open door. Amen.